This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. The selfless and courageous work of the Church's hidden or voiceless women is being celebrated this International Women's Day, March 8th, here in the Vatican. The unique event, Voices of Faith, is the brainchild of Chantal Goetz, executive director of the Catholic philanthropic Fidel Goetz Foundation, and of project manager Giovanna Abbiati. The Vatican's Pontifical Council for Social Communications has opened up the San Carlo Cinema inside the Vatican, not far from where Pope Francis lives at the Santa Marta Guest House, for the event. The small structure can hold up to 80 participants and is sometimes used by the popes for private viewings of films. Project manager Abbiati explains that the five-hour afternoon program is not a conference, but a storytelling event geared towards 21st-century means of communications. Using a multimedia platform in live streaming, 10 women from all walks of life will tell intimate and inspiring stories of how their lives and work have made a positive impact on society and the world. Stories from women like Jocelyn Queri, a former militant in Lebanon's civil war and now a crusader for peace. Christiana Dobner, known as a sister for atheists. Human rights lawyer Catherine Camilleri, who fights for the rights of refugees. And sister Azizet Kidane, who works among victims of violence and human trafficking. Chantal Goetz and Giovanna Abbiati joined me earlier in studio to tell me more about the initiative. So I'm sitting in studio today with Chantal Goetz, the executive director of the Fidel Goetz Foundation based in Liechtenstein. And I'm talking also with Giovanna Abbiati, who is organizing on behalf of the Fidel Goetz Foundation this initiative, which is going to be happening Saturday, March 8th in the Vatican. Some people will be surprised to hear it has a cinema, and it's the Cinema San Carlo, right in Vatican City. And this initiative is called Voices of Faith. Now, it's a unique Vatican-oriented initiative to celebrate International Women's Day. Chantal, why this event and why the Vatican?
Well, the idea for Voices of Faith was born with the election of Pope Francis. He set the tone for opening doors to the role of women in the Church. His desire to broaden the space within the Church for more incisive feminine presence is perfectly aligned with our initiative and with the goals of the Foundation.
Okay. And it's not something new for you either. Even with Vatican Radio, you've had a special project which you've helped to sponsor in the past where you have tried to give voice to the world's voiceless women in the Church, the so-called hidden women. So do you see this new initiative as a continuation of that sort of commitment?
It's a continuation, and maybe even to double it, that we, with Radio Vatican, we had a project to make invisible women more visible outside in the Church, but now we're trying to bring these invisible women inside the Vatican to make their stories heard.
And of course, this is going to be heard on live streaming. So you're inviting everyone around the world to listen in, to partake in this initiative. What are some of the stories that we're going to be hearing? Maybe I can ask you that, Giovanna. Mm-hmm. Some of the stories that we're going to be hearing that really perhaps made an impact on you personally.
I was very impressed, for example, by the story of Azazet Kidane. She's a Comboni sister living in Tel Aviv, and she discovered, as a nurse, she discovered these terrible wounds on the sick people in the hospital. So she discovered this human trafficking in the Sinai Desert. Those are people who are coming from Somalia and Eritrea seeking for a job in Jerusalem, and they're stopped by these traffickers, and of course they torture them and they abuse them. So she discovered this traffic, and she's telling us a real terrible story, but she's a kind of hero for me because she's so real, she's so much hands-on in the field. Well, I don't want to reveal too much, but it's a strong strong story.
Well, I'm familiar a little bit with that story mm-hmm. because we have heard terrible stories about Somalis who are trying to get across, and they're stopped by these traffickers who are demanding huge amounts of ransom that these poor families cannot pay, and they're trafficking in organs. They're actually taking organs out of these people, and so they're left in many cases just to die there in the desert.
That the worst thing is that sometimes it's also women who pay the toughest price because, for example, they come also with kids. So they kidnap the kids in order to have the payment. And if they don't, they just kill them. So this is really a big tragedy for humanity. And, of course, we heard, me and Chantal, about this commission on human trafficking. So we thought this is one of the first voices we wanted to hear and to give visibility in now this event.
You're also hearing from an ex-militant, a woman, who was participating as a soldier in Lebanon's civil war. That's an odd choice.
Yeah, so this is another type of crusade, let's say, because Jocelyne Schwery, she's from Lebanon, and she founded this woman movement now. She has witnessed the tragedy of the war in Lebanon, and really she realized that war doesn't bring anything good, especially for women and families. So she's training all these women in order to be...
Not soldiers, obviously,
but, you know, peace warriors. And she has a great story, too, but I don't want to anticipate too much.
Okay, well, there's certainly a lot of room to work there in Lebanon, especially in this particular time. Where there's a great need for peace and interreligious dialogue in particular.
Among these women, if I can add, there's one who is the most invisible. And she's coming from Nigeria, but not only Nigeria, actually, it's an island you don't even find in the map, in the Niger River.
The Niger
and,
River.
Niger mm-hmm. River. Mm-hmm. And she lives in this tiny village with 8,000 villagers, and 5,000 of them are children. And she does everything, teaching. She's a nurse, she has a clinic, but the clinic is the house, of course, and she's a nun. And so this also, you know, if you want to find someone really invisible in an invisible part of the world, there she is.
You've even got a mother of 9 children coming. What is she going to be offering?
Well, I was very surprised about when I talked to her. I asked the same. And you have 9 children and you have also a dance school. So you're a director of a school. So you work, you have 9 children. How is your life? How do you do this? I've only 4 and it's just crazy. And so it came to my mind, this idea of, you know, the artistic place during Renaissance where the mother, the father actually, not the mother, was also teaching how to work to the children. And she does the same thing because she says, yes, but I have all my children. They come, probably not, they don't come home. They come to my school. So they work with me. They help me. They answer to the phone. So it's a way of transmitting the faith, which is very important, but also a job.
Chantal, we heard Cardinal Walter Kasper just recently in an interview with the Italian Bishops Conference daily paper, Avvenire. He was talking about women's intuition as a resource that should not be wasted. He was urging also that women be actively engaged in the preparation for the upcoming Synod on the Family this October. What can women offer the Church?
Well, first of all, I couldn't agree more what Cardinal Kasper is saying in this interview, and we can confirm it, or I want to confirm it. In general, I think, you know, seeing women not only inside the Church, but in general, like, we have so many committed women as lawyers, as doctors, as physicians, as social workers, you know, they all have this big potential of giving their experience and their talents and their passions, they could just give it to the Church. You know, it's all there, and it would be easy just to integrate them in. They offer resource which really should be tapped more in the church.
What is going to make this conference different from any other conference that we might see in the Vatican?
Because it's not a conference. Mm-hmm. It's a storytelling event. We asked our speakers not to speak in a too much abstract language, but it's in real language, and telling stories, their stories. And we want to, I always say, use the pen to write the speech, but also the camera. We want to see what you're talking about. We want to hear the voices of the people you deal with. We want dialogues, and we want storytelling, because storytelling is the best way to transmit values, things, traditions, faith. So to bring this kind of new language and new format, maybe.
Yeah, and I would like to add, you know, it's really important that we don't call it a conference, but a kind of event, because we believe that personal stories, it will touch the people when they hear it, and it will be told, it will be spread in a different way than just going to a conference. So it's this kind of touching and feeling what we expect from the audience and from the live stream watches, and that these stories will be spread out of the cinema then.
This initiative, in fact, Giovanna, follows the enormous success of last spring's TEDx Via della Conciliazione event just down the street here from St. Peter's Basilica. You organized that on the topic of religious freedom. It featured huge names in a wide range of fields, from the arts to architecture, science and faith to business and sports. You had more than 800,000 hits in live streaming. Here, you've scaled down to the small Vatican cinema, but is this any less daunting a project?
Well, this project is really touched my heart. Of course, the TEDx experience taught me a lot. I wanted to learn from, you know, the best format, online format for the communication, because I realized that we have so much wisdom to share, so much best practice. So me and Chantal, we wanted really to learn through this format how to communicate better. We really are committed in using this modern language and in this modern new format to bring the communication of the church also in the 21st century. The communication is now different. If you are online, you can be watched by everybody. Believers, no believers, other religions. So we must be able to reach in a simple way, very direct, with one strong ideas, values, whatever, and be appealing in some way. So this is something we really learned from the past, and we're going ahead. And this event, it's in a very symbolic and special place, very small place, but, you know, a cinema make us feeling that, you know, art, faith, new languages, new formats are more than welcome in the Vatican, together with the woman.
Pope Francis has called himself on various occasions for the role you were mentioning about the women's professionalism and the many different kinds of expertise they have to offer the Catholic Church. On diverse occasions, Pope Francis has said that more positions of responsibility should be open to women in the Church. Is there anything you'd like to add in that respect?
It is a fact that we have 50% of resources unused still in this church. And, you know, these women, they could add so much. We are living in the 21st century, and still there's so much potential waiting to be used to make a change in the world, to reduce poverty rate. And we're talking also about, like, making economy more efficient. But talking of the church itself, I think they're not seeing what enormous talent pool they have already they could use, you know. So just add this 50% of their members, and I'm talking here of the female members, they could just add it. And it's especially like maybe in my last 15 years of being a director of the foundation that I have seen at first hand what could be done and how you could add these female resources into the church's work. The church does not use the talents and the passions and the leadership skills of these women enough. And that's when you come back to the quoting of Pope Francis when he's saying, you know, we have to make the presence of the women more incisive in this church. Maybe I don't really see what exactly what it means, what he wants to say. So far, there's not a definition of how to make this presence more incisive and how to use the talents of these women. And this is what we're still waiting for, and it's especially like with this initiative, it is a step in this direction to help and to promote, to make the feminine presence in the church more incisive or more visible.